Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle. Hey there, and welcome. Thank you so much for joining in on the conversation today. We have a great conversation coming up with Naomi Yeager and Rebecca Bischoff. And if those names sound familiar to you, you may know Naomi from The Budgeteer. She used to be the editor at The Budgeteer. And Rebecca, you know, honestly, I'm sure she does a lot of wonderful things, but I know her as a really good Zumba instructor at the Essentia Health Club, where she plays really good music during her Zumba class. So you should come check it out. Anyway, they are going to be talking about toxins and beauty products. And thinking of beauty products, if you're not somebody that wears makeup or whatever the case might be, you might think, this doesn't apply to me. But it does. Think of toothpaste, deodorant, shampoo, soap, lotions, shaving gels. And then, of course, you can take it farther and go to the makeup, which is the more obvious stuff. And other hair products, gel, hairspray, serums, all that stuff, and a bunch of other stuff I'm totally not even mentioning. In the US, women use an average of 12 products every day, and men use an average of 9. So again, we're all using something if we're brushing our teeth or wearing deodorant or taking a shower. Naomi and Rebecca are going to share information where we can go look to check out the products that we have, or maybe if we're in a grocery store or a store that we're buying products, to take a peek, see if it's in there, if we need to make a decision or want to make a decision, if we want to change what we're using, or just see if what we're using is free of some of these harmful chemicals. And they give some names so we know what to look for, and some suggestions about how to go about replacing the product so it doesn't necessarily have to feel huge and overwhelming. And feel free to check out the show notes too, where some of the links and the spellings of these words, so you can get familiar with what they look like as well. Let's head right on into the conversation, where they're going to get started by introducing themselves.
We like to say we are the determined Yeager-Bischoff women. And I'm Naomi Yeager-Bischoff, but the Bischoff is silent. And she she is...
I'm Rebecca Yeager-Bischoff, and the Yeager is silent.
That's fine.
I love it.
And we like to say we're determined as terriers. And I used to be determined to put out a newspaper, and Rebecca was determined to help the environment. Now, I am a commissioned earthkeeper at the national level with my church. I was commissioned by the same person who commissions the missionaries.
Okay.
And I went to some training outside of Atlanta. It was mostly on the theological basis behind why we as people of faith should care about the environment.
Okay.
I am supposed to be... I thought I was an actual missionary. I'm not quite a missionary. I'm kind of like a hybrid.
Okay.
And my mission is each one of the people that are commissioned get to pick a project. So someone might pick a project of, I'm going to get so many solar panels put up in this town. But my project is Duluth doesn't do it dirty. And so what I want to do is meet people where they're at and not shame them or make them feel guilty. Just find out where they're at. And then if they're curious, I can help them take it up a notch. And so my mission is to educate people.
Nice. Okay.
And my interest started in high school. I was my mom was working on an issue of a landfill that was going in around my hometown, just a small little town in North Dakota. And we were learning more about how landfills aren't necessarily the cleanest thing, even though like a lot of times they're called sanitary landfill. Mm-hmm. They can cause a lot of water pollution. And where they were thinking of locating this landfill was in a wetland area. Ooh. And so then I started thinking about how our actions affected the environment and got more into that environmental issues that way. Started looking at learning about organic foods and that, and decided to go to Northland College, which is in Ashland, Wisconsin. They have a great environmental program there, and just really expanded my own ideas and thoughts about environmentalism.
Nice. And then you kind of move forward into
Each time we got deeper and deeper into it, it was like I was writing as a journalist, I was writing about this sanitary landfill they needed to re-site because it was out by the airport, and there were too many birds flying around the landfill.
Okay.
And they needed to move this landfill. Well, nobody wants a landfill in their backyard.
Right.
And I got really interested in that. And then I was also part of United Methodist Women. I was a co-chairman with my mother in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And then I saw that United Methodist Women was looking for green team representatives. And so I applied for that. And because I was young, I was like 42, and they considered me a young woman. And then they gave us a lot of education on how to talk to people. We went out to near New York City and had a training in a hotel. And it was kind of the same thing as now I'm commissioned just within the church.
Okay.
But before, I was a green team representative for the United Methodist Women. And my mission was to go out and talk. And Rebecca and I gave speeches in Minnesota, Iowa. You didn't go to South Dakota with me. But that was when the Priuses first came out, and I was living in Duluth, so I rented a Prius. No, it was in North Dakota. It was in Bismarck. And Mom met me. And so I know this is audio, but here's a picture of Rebecca. She had just graduated from high school, and we're giving a speech in Iowa. And here we have a thing to teach people about composting. I mean, and this was 12 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So Rebecca was showing him how does a high school kid drink water in high school?
Bring your own bottle.
Because I had gone to one of the school board things because they were like buying bottled water. And I told them, you know, you shouldn't be, I don't think that you should, why is the school budget going towards this bottled water? And this one school board member told me I should worry about more important things.
Depends on your perspective.
Well, it just kept on growing bigger and bigger. Like, first, I think this is true for both she and I. First, we were into organic food. Then we learned more about the more meat you're eating, that's higher up on the food chain. So whatever those animals have eaten, you're getting that.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, all those animals have to go to the bathroom, and they're causing more and more pollution. So then we went vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was editor of the Budgeteer, I was invited to every lunch and every dinner there was. And my dad died when he was 54.
Okay.
And I have high blood pressure, and I was like, uh-oh. And I had heard that going vegetarian would help. But every time I got invited to something, they would give me pasta and cheese.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, this is heart attack city. And so then I went vegan. And then I started getting better meals that, like, I love the deck. The deck has great vegan meals. Would you say you morphed like that too?
Yeah, I think part of it too was that I tried some different, a friend had like one of those makeup parties, and I tried something. I put like some foundation on my face, and my face started breaking out right away. I was just got curious about, well, what's in there that made my face do that?
Right.
And started thinking about, you know, how does the environmental part of where do they get the ingredients, how are they treating the environment when they make the product, plus how is it acting on your own skin, mm-hmm. affecting you? Yeah, right. Started researching that way.
Right. Yeah, that's a very direct. I mean, a lot of people don't have issues until later on. I've known people who are like, I've worn this mascara for 20 years,
that's
and now I'm
yeah.
all of a sudden I can't have, you know, my body is rejecting it. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And, again, I know this is audio, but here's the books we really used on Not Just a Pretty Face, The Ugly Side of the Beauty Industry and Toxic Beauty, How Cosmetics and Personal Care Products Endanger Your Health and What You Can Do About It. And then, what's that one?
No More Dirty Looks.
Oh, isn't
there
one?
The Truth About Your Beauty Products.
What was cool for me, as Rebecca and I figured out, it was journalists who wrote. Was it all three of them? And
there's two of the three.
Which one was the one where the journalists went and had their hair done?
This No Ooh. More Dirty Looks.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So we need to give them credit. It's not like we're the experts. It's just that we've read what other people. And
right.
Do you want to tell the story of those two journalists who went and had their hair permed or something?
Well, they got their hair permed because they were living in California, and they wanted the stylist to have it really super straight, and, you know, the humidity there really affected. One had really curly hair. And so they went and got this Brazilian blowout, they call it.
Okay.
And it's was super stinky, and they started getting a little bit of a nauseous feeling from it. And they afterward decide, well, let's look in here and see what's in this Brazilian blowout. And they're surprised to find formaldehyde, which is a known carcinogen, in that. And we're like, well, if it's in this Brazilian blowout, what else are we getting ourselves exposed to with our beauty products?
Right.
And so it took them down this search of what's in their stuff.
Right. I love when we think of some of the best stuff that's been uncovered, it's by journalists doing their own thing, right? I mean, you know, that's where we find out some of the, you get to really dive in, dig in, and see what's going on, and you got the tools to really do that. So you found your way, and now you're looking to share this information with other people and help them know and be aware, which is fantastic. Everybody puts typically something, whether it's a soap, a shampoo, and then some people, you do the whole makeup and then lotion, and we live in Minnesota, so my gosh, the amount of lotion that some people, you know, put on just to be comfortable throughout the day.
And it's a men's issue, too, because they use lotions, and they use shampoo and conditioner, deodorant. Anyway, a lot of people think that the FDA... beauty and skin products are under the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, but the company that's producing it is the one that tests it for their own safety. So you have to trust the company, because it never gets tested, or I shouldn't say never. It doesn't get tested by the FDA until...
It doesn't need pre-market approval. Oh,
she said it the best. And there are some nonprofits that you can... there's the Environmental Working Group, and they had the campaign for Safe Cosmetics.
And their website has, are they the one that have the, I'm trying to remember where I've gone to look for skin stuff, if they're the ones, you can go in and look and find your skin product.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, because this is one thing that I have tend to have found, and I honestly haven't utilized that resource for a bit, but I was tending to find that most of what I was looking for wasn't there.
Yeah.
So is it just that I wasn't using big name products?
I asked them. I actually called them on the phone and asked them about it. And I think they're depending on other customers, other users to put the information in there. I did call them, and because I was finding the same thing. And it's not necessarily big name products. It might be that it's a voluntary thing.
Okay.
And some companies are choosing to do it with them. And other companies are just, like, we don't have time for that.
Okay. Because I was just noticing some products that I knew were quite clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to go in and, okay, I know this is a decent product.
Mm-hmm.
I want to find it because I want to know what they say about the clean product. I was not finding things. I could find find Pantene and, you know, just some of those just other brands that you can typically find on the shelf, right? And so that was interesting because some of them didn't necessarily have very high ratings. So it's interesting.
I know, that's what I thought. Why are they on here? But I don't know. But here are some of the, should we talk about what you need to look at?
Yeah, go for it. I mean, we're going to talk about the whys and stuff too, but while we're here, let's talk about where to go.
So things you need to look for are, on your shampoo, sodium lauryl sulfite.
Mm-hmm. So it could also be labeled as SLES. So either of those two, sodium lauryl sulfate or SLES.
And what's...
So they're in products that are used to foam, clean, and create suds. And it's inexpensive and cuts through oil very easily, so that's why a lot of companies put that in there. And they're used a lot in toothpaste, shampoo, liquid soap, and bubble bath.
And these chemicals, these things that are put in, like you say, they're a lot of times they're inexpensive and they work really well.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds really great for us, but they're going into our bodies. Everything that goes in our hair, on our skin, goes into our bodies and then has to work its way through
and then
all of our cells.
Not
right?
only that, it, you know, we wash it off us and then it goes down the drain and it goes into our water. And Rebecca, can you tell people what the issue is with sodium lauryl sulfate?
Yeah, during the manufacturing process, when it goes from sodium, you might see sodium lauryl sulfate, they change it to laureth because it's a little bit gentler on the skin. And during that time, it can be contaminated with 1,4-dioxane, which is a known carcinogen. And so the sodium lauryl sulfate is a penetration enhancer, so it goes into your skin easier. And so it could be, if it's contaminated with that dioxane, can bring that into your skin with it.
And then, so like you're saying, it goes down the drain, gets into our water supply. Are these things that we can pull out of our water supply when it's being sort of cleaned and rerouted to us?
I'm not sure if they're able to pull out that 1,4-dioxane from the, like, if it goes to the water treatment plant.
Okay.
But what I do know is that it doesn't degrade easily.
Okay.
So it could be sticking around in the environment if it gets into, like, Lake Superior or something like that, and can be toxic to our aquatic life.
Right. Okay.
And parabens. Why don't you tell them about parabens?
So parabens, they're one of the most widely used ingredients in cosmetics because they are a preservative that prevents the growth of microbes, especially in products with a lot of water, like lotion, shampoo, and conditioner. They're also similar to the sodium lauryl sulfate. They can penetrate the skin and accumulate in the body. And they weakly mimic estrogen, and so that can cause reproductive harm, and in males, lower sperm count and testosterone levels.
Yeah, so parabens is spelled P-A-R-A-B-E-N-S.
And you'll see it with words ending in paraben, like methylparaben or ethylparaben.
And are they one of the products, so like you said, they're an estrogen disruptor, which for some people can be why they're holding weight, mm-hmm. right? So we think that those things aren't a really big deal because I know the excuse is, well, there's not very much in there. And the rebuttal to that I've heard is, yes, but have you looked at how much estrogen is in, say, birth control? Or so it's a very little amount that it takes our body to do a whole bunch of things, you know? Mm-hmm. So having a little bit of an amount is not really very helpful.
And if you've been using it for years and years and years,
and it's not leaving your body, then it's not something that's just necessarily going to run through.
And
it's hanging out in there.
Oh, I don't know if I should say this, but that's kind of my theory of, you got to be really careful about fat shaming nowadays. But, you know, have you noticed that kids are bigger and chunkier than they ever used to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they've just had this stuff in their bodies. Like you said, people can't lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a whole nother thing, but I mean, like our men nowadays, our young men they're chubbier and they tend to have little breasts.
Mm-hmm. They're getting estrogen disruptors too.
Yeah, but then you look at older people and they're using all kinds of products, but I think, but when they were little teeny kids, like my mom, she just died last year, and one time I told Rebecca, I said, did you know Grandma Jeanette ate organic food when she was growing up? And Rebecca was like, oh, wow. It's like, everybody ate organic.
Right, exactly. It didn't have to be labeled. It was what you did.
Yes.
I know I was having, my dad, I know it's a little different, but it was still funny to me because my dad and I were having this conversation. My dad is now 90. And a few years ago, we were discussing the concept of organic food and the concept of like grass-fed beef. He was looking, why would you label it? It's grass-fed beef. That's how it's supposed to be fed.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about organic. That's what you ate, you know? And it just, he
thought that was funny.
It is. It's like we have this weird thing about, we now have to label the stuff that we used to have, where it's like, okay, why is the onus on labeling clean stuff?
So one of the reasons, like, they use parabens, and I'll correct me if I'm wrong, Rebecca, is that the parabens give the cosmetics a longer shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you owned a company and you were selling something, you'd want it to have a really long shelf life.
Right.
Because totally natural cosmetic products don't have as long as the shelf life, which might have been what was going on with your
my deodorant.
Mm-hmm.
That was,
Yeah. So, and then earlier you asked us if we had any brands to recommend. And so I was on a website that was, I don't want to say any names, but I was on a website that I thought was a good website. I really trusted this company. And I ordered some mascara from them. And is this the mascara or was it a different one? But then Rebecca looked at it and she goes, Mom, this has PEGs, pigs in it. And I was like, what? And Rebecca, why don't you tell them what a PEG is?
So PEG stands for polyethylene glycols, and you'll often see it listed as PEG dash some different number.
Okay.
They're used as thickeners and moisture carriers and can be found in lotion and shampoo and makeup. So PEGs are similar to that sodium lauryl sulfate during the manufacturing process. It can be contaminated with that 1,4-dioxane, as well as some other heavy metals like lead, nickel, and arsenic, which all of those are known human carcinogens. The one thing that maybe that company does is during the manufacturing process, they can vacuum strip and remove those contaminants, but there's not really any regulation or anything saying the company needs to, so you won't necessarily know unless maybe you call up that company to ask them, do you vacuum strip those contaminants out of there?
Interesting. Yeah, this was the one that I bought from a trusted website that I buy all my supplements from.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh, well, this is hypoallergenic mascara. And I thought, well, if such and such a company is selling this, it must be good stuff. And then we looked at the label, and here we see PEG 20. And so you really have to look at the labels. And then my personal thing is I want to educate people, and if you decide you want to go ahead and use that, okay, like Rebecca told me this was in this. I am using this,
mm-hmm.
but it's not like I'm totally clueless.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel that people should know what they're eating and they should know what they have on their body.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably I won't buy this one again, but I have been using it, but I'm not using it cluelessly.
Right. And there's the whole point of two, being aware of what's in your products and then how much do you use your products. I know the woman that I worked with, she's like, look, if you're wearing makeup every day, you're putting this stuff on your skin every day, you should probably really consider getting something that's going to be safe. If you wear makeup once a year, mm-hmm. you probably have a lot less to wear. You know, yeah. That's not your focus to go buy the most expensive quality makeup. And it is more expensive. And like you're saying, the products that they're using that are harmful are typically, they're cheap and they do the job, right? And so when we, because I know that's a comment that comes back from people, they're like, how do I even do this? Because all of this stuff is so much more expensive. And it is the whole, but again, that prioritizing, mm-hmm. right? And then knowing it's a different quality of product. That's what you're trying to figure out by the research, is trusting the company, but knowing that the ingredients do cost them more.
Right.
As well, in most cases.
So like for your wedding day or prom or something, you might say, I'm just going to use this, but I fully know that I'm using this.
Right.
But if you're a type of person that wears a lot of makeup, I would say set a budget for yourself and just tell yourself, I'm going to pay more for this.
Right. Curious about parabens, because I'm trying to remember somewhere I know this in my brain. Fragrances. Is parabens part of fragrances too?
Not necessarily parabens.
Okay.
Phthalates, maybe you're thinking of.
I think you're right.
So let's see this.
So we can talk about phthalates.
Well, right. Well, I'm thinking fragrance.
We can talk about
in that whole.
Here.
If you're okay, go in there.
Yeah.
So now, if you see a product and it says fragrance on it, that's proprietary. They don't have to tell you what chemical they used. So I personally stay away from something that has just fragrance on the back of it. Like this particular one, I'm sure they used natural.
Yeah, I looked there earlier. It just says all their essential oils they use.
Yeah, so in our struggle not to name.
Right.
But yeah, if you see something that just says fragrance, that means they don't have to tell you.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. And that fragrance, my understanding of the harm of fragrance is that, like you say, if something in that product is holding that fragrance, that's holding it in your skin, holding it in your hair. One of the rules of thumb that we kind of learned was, you know, if you can smell a product too long during the day, mm-hmm. it's probably got some chemicals in it that's mm-hmm. making it
mm-hmm.
hold onto your body, and those are not helpful chemicals.
Yeah, so what I have here from my research is fragrance. Over 3,000 chemicals usually represent a complex mixture of dozens of chemicals. So there's over 3,000 chemicals that companies can be putting in and then saying it's proprietary and it's their fragrance and they don't have to tell you.
Right.
So often it can be like phthalates or formaldehyde in there. And like you were saying with the scent that lingers, there's a phthalate that it's used specifically to make that scent linger a long time.
Right. And that's what some people love about, you know, and it's just not knowing. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's, oh, I love this. My hair smells like this all day.
And then I'll say, well, I think, no, I wouldn't say this to a person's face, but I mean, it smells like cancer to me. So I think that we should give people three takeaways of chemicals they can look for in their products. So
we didn't talk about phthalates yet.
Okay.
It in part of fragrance, but...
Okay, so...
Yeah, definitely talk about phthalates, because that comes
up a lot. I'll spell it for you. P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S.
So you'll see this listed, like, as dibutyl phthalate, or DBP, diethyl phthalate, DEP, or diexyl phthalate, DEHP. These are ingredients that are used to dissolve other chemicals in water. A lot of times they'll be used in nail polish because they help the polish from becoming brittle. Or also, like we were talking with fragrance, help the scent linger. And their phthalates are known hormone disruptors and are suspected carcinogens. And they have also been linked to endometriosis and polycystic ovarian syndrome. There's an interesting study the CDC did in the year 2000. Researchers were studying the toxicity levels in adults, and they found phthalates in every person studied, and they broke the study down even further by age and gender, and found women aged 20 to 40 had the highest levels. And so they were kind of surprised by that and started thinking, what are these women doing differently? And they thought, well, maybe all the makeups and nails polishes they were using are part of that reason.
So women between the ages of 20 and 40 had the most phthalates in them?
Had the highest levels out of anybody in that group. They were the ones found had the highest
amount of phthalates.
And like I said, it's a choice, and I don't know if Rebecca saw me, but she didn't say anything. But the other day, I went and I did this.
Oh, yes.
I paid for someone to do my nails.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, this is really against my values in that I really wanted someone to give me a pedicure.
Did you bring your own polish?
I could have brought my own polish.
Oh, sure.
But I kind of did it on a whim. I was volunteering downtown at the Y, and there's a salon close by. And so I just...
ran in and...
Actually, no, I did make an appointment. So I wasn't... If you're organized enough, you can buy your own nail polish, and you can ask them. I did ask her. She put some type of lotion on my legs, and I said, can I look at that? And I looked at it, and that one was fine. But I never did look at the back of the bottle of the nail polish.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so...
Did you let her know that that lotion was good?
I did tell her. Good. She was running back and forth from the room, and I said, can I look at this? And I was looking at it, and then I told her why I was looking at it. Mm-hmm. And I said, this stuff you have right here is really good stuff, because it doesn't have any of the danger chemicals that I was looking for.
Nice.
But I didn't get too deep into conversation with her,
right,
because that's how she makes her living.
Right.
But then on the other side of that, I've heard that a lot of beauticians, well, I can't cite this from any place, but I mean, they work with those chemicals day in, mm-hmm, and day out, and that can endanger their own health.
Right. And it's nice to give feedback and let them know, hey, you've made a good choice. And mm-hmm, it just creates that little mm-hmm piece of awareness for her to maybe, oh, okay, I'm going to make that same choice next time, or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she purchases, or maybe it's something she's also, and maybe it was a conscientious decision on her part, who knows. But it's good feedback that people are paying attention, mm-hmm, to.
I do go to a beauty shop here that goes out of their way to get as many organic products and natural products as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what they specialize in.
Okay.
And then the other, I looked up things from the American Chemistry Society.
Okay.
So that was another source. And five...
Gyres.
Gyres is a water circle in the ocean.
Oh, okay.
And so another nonprofit that we used to do our research was called Five Gyres.
Gyres.
And you are an ambassador with them, aren't you?
Yeah, they focus on plastic pollution, so they're really encouraging people not to use single-use plastics like plastic bags and straws or lids from coffee shops.
Mm-hmm. Which brings me to one of the questions, and I don't know how much you guys have looked into this, but I think you have, if I remember correctly. Talking about the plastics, what about like the little plastic beads that are, mm-hmm, in our lotions, and I don't even know what all they're in. I don't even remember what the purpose of them is. I just know that they're there and that they cause problems.
Yeah, a lot of times they're used for like the scrubbing, they're a lot gentler than like say the natural stuff is like the apricot kernels and stuff, which can be a little harsh. But they are going to be phasing that out. Do you remember?
I thought it was this year that it was supposed to be.
Because they were finding it in, even here in Lake Superior, there's that researcher from UWS that found them in fish here.
There were a bunch of companies that signed on that they were not going to use it. And then it became law. I think it was this year that so they gave everybody a warning. It's like, you better sell out of these products now. And so I think last year was the year that they were trying to get all done with those products.
And isn't that just fascinating? Like, when you think of that sort of touchstone of using stuff, going down the drain, finding it in the fish in your big lake, you know, it's like, those are the type of things that, well, you know, probably somebody didn't drop a bottle of lotion in the ocean and or in the lake, I mean. And then, you know, the fish ate it. And now, you know, it's just that reminder that, wow, it really does go around. And there are effects.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking in hopefully this summer, maybe some of us will be using sunscreen.
Yes, that's a big...
Do you have much information or does this jog anything for you, Rebecca?
Well, there's chemical sunscreen. I don't know what the right word is. Sunscreen. Or there's chemical sunscreen, and then there's physical sunscreen. And the physical, like zinc, is a lot safer to use because it's not penetrating. The chemicals, sunscreens penetrate the skin.
Okay.
So these are. Can you pronounce any of these, or will the listeners even be able to remember any of this?
Well,
this is a list of things you should avoid when you're looking for sunscreen.
Oxybenzoin, benzephenoin, homosalate, PABA.
That's that PABA again.
PABA, okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, so also what I read, yeah, Rebecca's right. There's the chemical and there's physical, like wear a big hat or, you know, just make sure you're covered up. But then there's the other side of that, too, is, you know, in Duluth, most people have a lack of vitamin D.
Right.
And so it's kind of like you got to get that natural sun. But so it's just being more careful.
So how do you have any thoughts about that? Because in my memory, you're supposed to put the sunscreen on, and I don't know if this goes for really good quality sunscreens or not, or safe sunscreens, I guess I should say, that you're supposed to put it on like a period of time before you go out in the sun. Do you know anything about that? Because I was thinking,
I have heard that. I think that's probably with the chemical sunscreens more.
Okay.
Just so that they can get into your skin and be able to take effect before you get out in the sun.
Because I'm thinking, well, couldn't we just go out in the sun for 15 minutes or however long it takes it and then apply it?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys saw this article. I should have sent it to you, actually. I have it saved, but I haven't read it yet. That it was basically them saying it isn't the sun that causes skin cancer, it's sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys read that?
I have heard that before, but haven't read the article you're talking about.
If you get a real bad sunburn when you're a real little kid, that is really, really bad for you. And I haven't read that, but I guess Rebecca has. But I have read that if you've gotten a really, really bad sunburn when you were a little kid, that can cause you to get cancer when you're an adult.
Okay.
And you may have even forgotten about the incident.
Right. I worry about that myself. I got really bad sunburn when I was early 20s. And I was like, I never gotten a sunburn like that before. Like, I was out of work because I had...
It hurt so bad?
Well, I was... My boss said, you can't come back to work until you stop dripping. I had blisters like crazy. And the skin... I mean... And the thing is, for me... is I'm a very white girl, and I was mad when we left. We were at a wave pool, and I was mad when we left because I didn't get any color. And I was worried about a couple other people I was with who were getting burned. Well, their burns turned into tans. Mine turned into flaming red heat source of the day. I smelled like a baked potato, and it was just incredible. And I keep having people kind of just look at it to make sure. But I always wonder, like, what to do about
what to do about it now?
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was scary. No. And there, besides just keep an eye on things, but it was just interesting.
when you're in your 20s, you kind of think you're invincible, but in that particular case, I would say using some sunscreen would have been better than using none.
I think I probably did once in the process, but then didn't again. And I know that in my silly little brain, it was like, I never get a tan and I never burn. Uh-huh. And it was like, we were out there all day. Like, it was ridiculous. And I was amazingly sick. It was just not a good idea. But because I've read so much about sunscreens as well, it's always the wanting to have, if I'm gonna put something on, and I don't spend a ton of time outside in the sun and swimming and things like that outside, but it is the whole, if I'm gonna put it on, and now I'm thinking of that skin is, I know it's years later, but it's that awareness that I had of what damage I did and not wanting to add more damage to it.
So I would recommend that if someone knows you're gonna be out like that, get yourself a shirt to put on or something.
That's kind of what I end up doing, is just wearing something.
And I always say that I have a doctor's prescription to wear a hat. And I don't know if you've noticed that I wear a lot of hats.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's huge. I have a scar on this side of my face, but a lot of people say they don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had plastic surgery. I used to think plastic surgery was for vain people, but I would be a really ugly woman if it wasn't for plastic surgery. I had this part of my face all torn up in a car accident.
Oh my gosh.
And so the doctor told me to wear a hat because with scar tissue, you never know if it's going to go lighter or darker.
Okay.
So he was just like, wear a hat a lot. But then I was having trouble with, just recently I was having trouble with depression, and the doctor was like, well, I think you need more vitamin D. And so it's a hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's getting off the topic.
Yes and no.
It's kind of like, well, yeah, people...
How do we care for ourselves?
How do we care for ourselves? Now, should we talk about lipstick?
Ooh.
And what to avoid in lipstick? Yeah, it used to be quite common that they put lead in lipstick and other heavy metals.
That is, like, am I correct that is done? Like, they are not doing that anymore, or am I wrong about that?
I believe a lot of companies have phased it out.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it wasn't until, I think it was the World's Fair in Maybelline. Can we talk about Maybelline? It might be fine now, I'm not saying anything bad about it now, but how it actually got started was the brother of this young woman named Mabel started selling mascara, mail order.
Okay.
And here's an ad for it back in the 1917, and what he was doing was he was taking ashes from coal, and then he was sending women these packaged up, he'd have them packaged and in a cake, and then they'd get a little brush.
Oh, interesting.
But there was a really bad case of three women, they got eye infections, and one woman, she got an ulcer, and she died.
Oh my goodness.
She died.
Whoa, that's sad.
Yeah.
Just when your mascara kills you.
Yeah. Oh. Let's see. Advertisements of Lash, Lair, Eyelash, and Brow Dye were saying in 1933 that their new improved mascara will give you a radiating personality with before and after. The last part was true. The before was a regular appearance and the after was a horror film. A cosmetic disaster with melted ocular globes, the flesh around them with multiple scars, blinded people with infected ulcers, and a woman died in the hospital with a septicemia, blood poisoning. Nobody really thought that an apparently innocent eye cosmetic advertised in magazines and kindly offered in beauty salons could cause such a huge social catastrophe. It was after that time that they started warning women.
In the 1930s, more people wanted the government to do something to regulate these cosmetics because they were seeing lots of cases with other cosmetics and drugs, too. And so there was a big tragedy in 1937 with the drug that was a pediatric drug that was called a miracle cure in quotations, but actually killed over 100 people, mostly children. And after that, people were like, we really got to do something about these drugs and cosmetics. And so Congress passed the Food, Drug, and Cosmetics Act in 1938 mm-hmm. To help regulate these cosmetics. But when you think regulate, most people think, well, then that's like safe. And I think we had talked about this before. The companies don't need pre-market approval. It's only after something bad happens.
Mm-hmm. And that they know about, right? So it's I think you guys said in a previous conversation that they need to be told there's an issue before they'll even look into it.
Mm-hmm. And like a lot of government agencies, they only have a limited amount of staff, so it depends on how serious the case is if they will enforce anything or do anything about it.
Well, and there's a lot of, I mean, when we think of cosmetics in general, you know, there's a lot of money and a lot of desire behind them to make women feel like they need them, you know, to kind of put it in our culture that this is the norm and this is what we all need to do. And so there's a lot of interest on the companies to say, hey, use our products, you guys need these.
I got off into a tangent on the history of makeup, and that's real interesting. And in the United States, it really started after the movies. So when you think about, I don't know, this might be getting to be an old saying, but it used to be, oh, you look as pretty as a movie star. Mm-hmm. And that's when they started selling it to the general public, was after the movies came out. But there's even in the Middle Ages, and Cleopatra used makeup, but it didn't get real big until the movies came out, and then everybody wanted to look like a movie star.
Right.
And then that changed what the norm is to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then everybody had to start looking flawless. And
in 2002, an international survey reported that 60% of women in the world are using mascara, and this product is actually 50% of the total amount of cosmetic sales in the world.
Wow. So mascara is kind of like the big thing that everybody uses.
On 2009, the eye cosmetic market continued to grow despite the global recession. Companies like L'Oreal reported a jump of 15% in their sales. And I know I used to sell Avon, and I'm not saying anything bad or good, but what I'm saying is I was taught that even if a woman, even if there's a recession or a depression, or even if an individual woman or family is experiencing a dip in their income, they'll say, well, I can at least afford a stick of lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a person is going through a bad time, they can cheer themselves up with some relatively inexpensive cosmetics.
That's interesting. That was like the one thing my mom wore was always lipstick.
Lipstick. You know? Yeah, my mom too. It wasn't mascara, but it was lipstick.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. That was my mom's thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Avon made it easy because then she didn't have to go anywhere. She they came to her, right?
Right. So. Right. Chemicals linked to breast cancer found in anti-aging products.
So that's another thing, anti-aging, right? Like we have these ideas of anti-aging products with, I know some of the stuff that I've read about them is they probably don't work as great as we think they are, but we like the idea, right? I mean, it's a pretty attractive idea.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, we might, maybe our skin looks good, but then like you're saying, some of these chemicals turn into breast cancer, and that doesn't do
well. So then you're not going to age at all. You won't have a birthday.
Right. Well, and for women, it hits a totally different part of their psyche, right? Like, for women, breasts are pretty important, for many women, very important to how they feel about themselves and how they represent themselves in their own mind. And so then you've got this thing that you're using on your face to make you look outwardly attractive, but then you're dealing with potentially breast cancer from the chemicals, which do a whole nother thing on how you're feeling about yourself and kind of attack your womanhood. So it's just, can we not find a balance, people?
Yeah.
One thing I think is interesting, I don't know if you're familiar with the term pink washing, but there's all those companies out there that'll stick the little pink ribbon that say they support the breast cancer research. But a lot of times the ingredients in their own products are what...
Is there any regulation like that? Is there any kind of like check or balance against that that says, oh, if you're going to carry the pink label, you really have to have a product that represents?
I don't think so.
Not that I had done some reading.
They're
about
trying to
that.
Say we're a good company. We're supporting.
But actually, maybe what they're doing is they're giving that campaign some actual cash.
That's what I...
But their particular product might be one of the products that...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's the ribbon represents we give the money versus mm-hmm. our product.
And we think breast
quality.
Cancer is bad, and just about every company is going to think breast cancer is bad, you
right.
know? Right. It's like, how can you be...
Well, and the toxins are one thing, but it's also understanding the advertising. Again, mm-hmm. if you're looking at the product and you think the pink ribbon represents quality product versus, mm-hmm. their, you know, it's like understanding is it that they're donating, like I say, is it that they're donating or has the product been vetted as, nope, you are a product that actually isn't working against the breast cancer concept. What can people take away, like... What are just a couple things, some ideas that people can really, you know, kind of either recapping or new information, what they can look for in their products or something that they can use to try to guide them as to things that might be good options or, you know, because like, for instance, when you're shopping, even at the co-op, whether it's our co-op or any co-op, you might find the better products there, but you are also going to find products that still have some of these chemicals in it. Like they're still carrying some of those on the shelf too. Mm-hmm. So don't necessarily think that because it's a health food store that they've been able to eradicate everything. Right. So even there, being aware, and I know I am seeing in you just the regular stores, be they Targets and things like that, and some of the regular grocery stores, I'm seeing some of the better lotions, or at least have in the past. Lotions, that's one of the things that I probably buy the most is lotion, mm-hmm. and I still don't buy a ton of that. But I'll notice occasionally, like, oh, cool, they're carrying that brand now, you know, mm-hmm. and trying to offer some better options. So you can go to your regular store, but what are some things people can try to avoid? And then this is kind of a separate question, but maybe it mixes with it a little bit. When we're looking at a label and it says phthalate free or something free, that doesn't mean to not look at the rest of the label, right?
Right, yep. Yeah, well, we talked about avoiding parabens, phthalates, fragrance, sodium lauryl sulfate, and polyethylene glycols.
Those are the only words that I've been able to memorize into my head. So those are the first three are the ones I look at when I'm looking at something. And if I see those in it, I'm like, oh, well, maybe I can pick something else.
That's going to wipe off a lot of the choices right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the back of this one, and this one seems like it's...
You have an eyeshadow?
Yeah, this is eyeshadow. I don't really want to say the brand name, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing people can start out with is if you're like a very beginner to this, which products that you use on your whole body, like you were saying, lotions... Just look at what the lotion you have is. Either decide if you want to use it before you buy something new, or you can throw that out and buy something that doesn't have parabens, anything like that in there.
Or just as you go, like
right.
as you finish products. That way it isn't like this huge expense, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's well, I'm done with that. Now when I replace it with something, quote unquote, better,
mm-hmm.
or doesn't have chemicals. And ask your friends what they're using, right? Because, you know, if they have some awareness around it, just because they can let you know where they find things too.
Oh, the first time I was doing a talk for this, I would ask my friends on Facebook, I'd say, hey, would you grab your shampoo and tell me what shampoo you use?
Mm-hmm.
And so then I would see if I could find... I wouldn't ask them to say every ingredient. Just tell me the shampoo you're using. And then I'd look it up and I'd see what it had in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of fun. Just ask your friends on Facebook to tell you what they're using.
Right. Well, right. And if you do want to make a switch, just say, hey, I'm just kind of looking to like lighten the toxin load. Does anybody have anything that they can recommend that they feel like is a good product? And then you can take a look at that and see what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, Rebecca, did you bring this because this is what you use for lotion?
Yeah, for me, coconut oil works really well, and that can be a cheap switch from... Like, a lot of the ingredients that are in the products aren't necessarily for the actual skin treatment. It's a lot of those preservatives. So for me, coconut oil, just rubbing that straight on my skin works well. I know some people put essential oils in it.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have to.
Right.
You can just use coconut oil straight up. That's a super
mm-hmm.
easy lotion. And there are a lot of make your own, like
mm-hmm.
do it yourself. If you type in Google DIY lotion and maybe even toxin-free or whatever, you can see. And then it's just getting good quality product from that. But lotion can be pretty, doesn't have to be complex to make.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of things do work well. And they're different than your typical lotion. And it's a little trickier because they don't come in those handy little bottles that you can carry in your purse, right? And that's mm-hmm. that's sometimes a bummer around, mm-hmm. you know, in winter and things like that. But if that works for you, yeah.
I also do a lot of shopping at the farmer's market and the small shops around town. So I like to buy from local people. Mm-hmm. And one of the benefits of not having as much regulation from the FDA is that the local people can also make their own products without any like FDA oversight. So then you can actually talk to them. A lot of times they list what's in their products and also ask them if you're not sure, like, oh, you say fragrance, but what are you using for your fragrance? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this was made from a local person in Superior, mm-hmm. and he or she has listed the ingredients: beeswax, shea's butter, infused oils of calalunda, comfrey, plantain, and chamomile. Yeah, and I have Rebecca and me signed up for a class in making eyeshadow at Market Day.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. So there are resources to do your own thing. Mm-hmm. And well, and like you're saying, when you are shopping local or like at a market, you can get to know the person, get to know what they're using. And you can also ask the question of how long does this typically last? How do I care for this product? Because you're right. The stability does go down when you're using something natural. And that's a bummer. But it also is nice to know that you're not, you know, just because we put a lot of preservatives on our body does not mean that it preserves us. And
well, that's the other thing they found. Well, I guess you already, did you mention that? How much formaldehyde is in the average person when they die? Oh. I don't have the statistics off the top of my head, but just about every single person has formaldehyde in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also you brought up stability. Well, I always said I used to not wear very much makeup, so I have makeup for years. Mm-hmm. But these chemicals do break down into...
A lot of times they break down, give off formaldehyde. So if you're using expired products, you're putting more of yourself at risk for getting formaldehyde.
So you might as well throw out your old makeup if it's getting old because it's breaking down.
Right.
Into worse.
Right. And I am, like, guilty of that because I don't wear makeup. Like, I finally threw all of mine out, mm-hmm. you know, and I went through a period where I did wear a little bit more. But I know there was one time I was going to throw some, and I was kind of playing with it, and I could see that it kind of just didn't, like, it was discolored, and it looked a little weird, and, you know, and... Yeah, and there was something that I had, and I don't remember what it was, but I did put just a little on my skin, and I kind of was like, okay, like the kind of the redness, it's like, okay, something's not good, mm-hmm. whatever that is, I don't know, but it was really, really old, so it wasn't like just a little over its expiration date, it needed to go away.
And that's a hard part for me, because I hate wasting anything.
Oh, yes. Yeah, if you're an environmentalist, yes. It's hard for you to throw things out.
Yes, no, and that's why I kept mine from so long. It's like, well, someday I might just randomly need this. But after a while, I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. I know I'm doing more harm than good here.
So I did want to bring up two other things. One is some people really care about animals, and there's nothing wrong with that. But actually, they get into it, like Rebecca and I got into it from being interested in the landfill thing, and then we learned more. And some people get into it from being interested about animals, mm-hmm. and... To protect us, a lot of these companies test their products on animals, mm-hmm. like bunnies. You can look, and if they have a picture of a little bunny, it means that they have not tested it on animals. Oh. And and so it's kind of like you want to protect yourself and you want to know that you're safe, but at the same token, you don't want them abusing animals.
Right.
So,
yeah.
There is ways that they can test products without using animals.
Okay.
I think that was another question I asked Environmental Working Group, and they said there's a type of synthetic tissue that can be made, and then they test the products on that.
Okay.
But the other thing is, like, Germany and Europe they're really more...
The European Union has banned a lot more of these ingredients that are common mm-hmm. in our own... here in the U.S.
So I took a trip to Amsterdam in Germany in 2014, and as a gift for Rebecca, I just went into a store and bought some lipstick. And my friend, who lives in Germany, she was saying, oh yeah, all our lipstick is safe and everything is safe. And so her little gift from mom going on a trip was some lipstick from Germany.
Nice.
And I think I bought this in the United States, but it says made in Germany. Here, this is one of my lipsticks.
So a couple things that come from what you're just saying is, one, I always find it interesting to figure out if a chemical or an additive or whatever, it's interesting to know what Europe is doing with that, right? It's not a guarantee, but it is sometimes a really good guide. So for instance, I used to do some work with an American company, and when they started going to other countries, we have the American products, and then we have the products made for the European countries, who are different because they're not allowed to have those. So it's an interesting thing. If it's made in the US, but it's made for Germany, then it's probably a different quality than the made for the US for the US. But then if it's made in Germany, my assumption would be those chemicals would be gone because they can't use them anyway. I don't know if that's true. That's just my thought.
It seems like it would be cheaper for them just to have the one and not have two separate facilities.
Right. Well, right. Or at least different recipes. Yeah. And I know I've heard of, and I don't know who they are, but I know I've heard sometimes that process, like, well, if we're going to make it there, the cost difference isn't really that much. We'll just make all of our products cleaner. It's like, yay, like, can we celebrate that? Can you guys promote that?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of like a big deal. Yeah, and I don't know why some of the cleaner products, I mean, I'm sure some of it is marketing and a lot of things come word of mouth, right? Like, I think of some of the clean stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't have big ads. They don't have huge advertising budgets because they're probably have that margin that isn't as big, where some of these larger companies using cheaper chemicals, they get way more money from their sales than some of these other companies that do, that have to use higher quality products and also try to stay into the affordability margins. They don't have this huge marketing budget. And that's just something to consider too in all of that, is where they're able to put their money.
So, yeah, like what Rebecca was saying, I think is an interesting concept. On the one side, we want the government to protect us. But on the other side of that, small people can make stuff and sell it. And you can look at them face to face and say, hey, what did you put in this?
Right.
And you go to the farmer's market or this market day place that's just down the street here.
Right. And you can trust, you know, hopefully you can trust them, or you learn to trust them, or you learn to make things to yourself.
I just think you don't, Mom, my husband and I were just having this conversation this morning. It's like, who can you trust? So I always say, trust but verify. If someone tells you something, trust them, but still double check it.
Right. And some of the products will say third party testing.
Oh yeah.
You know, so that's at least kind of a helpful guide. Not a guarantee of anything, but a guarantee, or at least a guide that they're probably, what they at least say in it, say is in it, is probably in it. Right.
Yeah. Oh, I know there was something else I wanted to bring up, and maybe later I can send you the citation of it. But there was a group of female chemists researching on, I don't know if they were researching breast cancer or if it was deodorant, but anyway, all these women, they thought, oh, this deodorant that we're all using is bad for us. And so because they all worked in the same office, they all decided together that they were going to quit using their deodorant. And so, like, for the first month, everybody was stinky. But then after the month went by, they were okay again. So it's like, once you start using a lot of those deodorants, it's a vicious circle, because then you have to use it to keep yourself from getting stinky. And if you can just go through the period of like 1 month, then you probably won't smell after you get over that 1 month period. But I can see if I can find that to cite that.
Or they'll switch from antiperspirant to a deodorant, and for a little while they're like, oh, not too comfortable with this. And they're like, oh, whatever, it doesn't even, nobody notices anymore, you know?
But the good thing about this was everybody in the office was doing it at the same
time. Yes, and they all understood, and they all agreed, okay, we're just going to deal with it. Yeah. So have you guys looked into deodorant and aluminum and all of that stuff? Is that something you've explored as well?
A little bit. Aluminum, there's a link, but there's not necessarily anything that proves that the aluminum from deodorant, that antiperspirant, is what the aluminum is used for. They think it causes or is linked to Alzheimer, but they can't prove it.
Okay.
I have tried lots of different deodorants way before, like I even got into natural things. I was having trouble finding deodorants that worked. And both conventional and the organic stuff, I've had a hard time. Like, I brought the deodorant that I use today is mostly based out of shea butter, baking soda, and some essential oils. And for some reason, that combination works for me.
Okay. That works for me, too. And when I was a young woman, like in my teens, I really had a BO problem, which is huge when you're at any age.
Oh, my gosh,
as a
teenager,
but when you're a
yes.
teenager and you're
yes.
going to high school.
Yep.
And so I had, you know, the doctor recommend different, I don't know that it was a prescription deodorant, but I mean, I know it's a huge social stigma.
Mm-hmm.
And I was using mainstream deodorant for a long time, just recently, because, you know, when I was an editor of a paper out and mixing, I was like, I don't want to be smelling, you know. And
one thing I think that's interesting, this from a female perspective too, is like trying to stay away from aluminum, I would switch over to men's, because men's are, they don't put the antiperspirant, they're just a deodorant for the most part.
Oh,
there's
really?
A few that do the antiperspirant, but
okay.
typically men's deodorant is just deodorant, not antiperspirant.
Okay.
So there's other ingredients there that you may want to avoid, but I was using men's deodorant just to avoid the aluminum.
Here was Rebecca, this pretty young woman, and she smells like a man.
Well, and so another thing that you kind of bring up is just because a product has quality ingredients doesn't mean it, you might not have still have some sort of reaction or it may not work for you. And there is that time period, like you say, if you're switching over to a different deodorant, you know, give it a chance because maybe your body is just doing some adjusting, but it isn't a guarantee. Good quality ingredients aren't always a guarantee that it's going to work fine for you. And I know shampoos are one of those things that I think are a little bit harder to find a really good clean shampoo because they don't typically lather as much.
Yeah, so people think it's not lathering, it's not working,
right.
but that's not necessarily true. Americans have this big thing about soap and suds.
Right.
And Americans think it's got to be a lot of soap and a lot of sudsing. And with clothes anyway, what gets your clothes clean is not how much soap you put in it, it's how much it's agitating. That's what's cleaning your clothes. And the soap gives it more, it helps the soil break down. But putting more soap in it doesn't help it more.
Right.
It's the agitating of the water.
Right. So for washing our hair, it's not so much the lather, it's about getting in there and moving things around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing I wanted to say about the anti-aging, or just the skin issues or anything,
yeah.
a lot of times it look at your nutrition, because a lot of those, acne, for example, or that can be caused by what your diet is. Like a lot of times sugar can cause pimples and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, you know, if you don't want to get wrinkles, don't smoke and don't drink very much, because that the smoking, when you're...
Ooh.
It really causes wrinkles around your...
Dries you out.
It dries you out. Plus, you're moving your mouth in that...
kind of puckery way.
And that causes the wrinkles around the mouth.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the smoking, don't smoke, and a lot of drinking, too. Sometimes you can just... Okay, I gotta be careful how I say this. But there's some people, I look at them, and I'm like, what? They look older than they are, and I can't figure. And I know I've said something to my mother, and one time she says, "Well, maybe they drink a lot." As my mom was a public health nurse.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, smoking and drinking are two things to avoid if you want to stay younger looking.
And and those are just the basic, the chemical. Don't have to worry about what's in the bottle. You can just you can just make it the lifestyle choices that we make.
Yeah.
And then how our bodies react too, because everybody's a little bit different too, right? So what resources, you talked about the environmental working group. Is there any other web resources, or if you know of any phone apps, things that people can use when they're out and about that they can maybe get? It's sometimes reading those bottles. My gosh, if you look at the list of the ingredients.
The Environmental Working Group does have a phone app that you can
use. It's called Think Dirty, but I think it was only for Android phones at the time when I was looking at it,
okay.
so I wasn't able to get it.
Got it. Okay. But you could at least hop on the web if you're...
I think it was, you could, like, scan the product and it would, like, know the ingredients in it.
Okay.
I think it connected up to that Skin Deep database.
Okay. Do you remember what that's called?
Environmental Working Group Skin Deep Cosmetic Database.
Skin Deep, okay.
Another good website is safecosmetics.org, because then if you're worried about a particular ingredient, it'll tell you, like, for, like, phthalate, for example, it'll tell you, like, what all the health concerns are and
Yeah, those are important pieces, right? I mean, just to give people some resources to find to look quickly when they're standing in the middle of the grocery store.
I pretty much did a lot of my research on that one, and then those three books that we
mentioned.
Told.
Okay. Yeah.
About.
And it is interesting. I did go to the FDA website just to see what they say, and they themselves say we don't endorse any product. We don't give approval.
We give disapproval once in a while.
The one exception is color additives. They do have to have approval for those.
Really?
Approval. And that was during the 60s, there was a big concern about additives in foods. And so since the Act covers foods, drugs, and cosmetics, it kind of got pushed to cosmetics, too, to have pre-market approval before they can use any of those color additives.
Right. It's very interesting when we think of the things that are regulated and the things that are not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the colors are regulated, but my goodness, mm-hmm. some of the other stuff that goes in there that's not, nobody's looking at is kind
right.
of amazing.
Well, I don't want to say that companies aren't necessarily out to get you. A lot of times they're doing testing, but it's for the short term. Things like skin irritation or eye irritation,
mm-hmm.
not the long term.
Right. And that is a really good point, is we know in the short term, but we don't have long term. You are the long term test subject when you're using it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. And if they did a 20-year trial, that means their product doesn't go out for 20 years. And whether that's good or bad, but it's the reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Any other things you want to pop in there? Other ideas?
I just want to reiterate that I say it's a choice. I mean, you make your choice. I want everyone to have an informed choice. If you choose to continue using a product that I personally wouldn't use, at least you're doing it knowing what's in it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important.
It bothers me to think about someone would be like, oh, I had no idea this was in there. I wouldn't have used it if I knew.
Right.
But if you're using it and you choose to,
mm-hmm.
that's your choice.
Right. All right.
I don't know if this goes here, but we may have already said this, but the sodium lauryl sulfate is in, products that foam, soaps, shampoos, bubble bath, and toothpaste.
Okay.
And then Rebecca's idea, if you're overwhelmed with all this information, just pick one thing, like your lotion or your shampoo. Just pick one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And don't try to do everything overnight. Just pick one thing.
Yeah. That's because you can get excited about it. And that's great. You know, when people really sometimes really dive in and realize, oh my goodness. But man, if you can make those even just small shifts, pretty soon it's not such a big deal anymore. And you know what products to buy and you're aware. And
don't think of it as a sprint. It's a marathon. So just, you know, start little and stuff that you can sustain.
Right. Or using those products that we use the most, use daily or use the most of, is another great way to think about that too.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of stuck in a place now where breathing the air and drinking the water is, we're going to get stuff by living, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what can we do to lighten that load that our body has to deal with? Because our body has to deal with all these chemicals. So it's very important to have a place to start.
And with me, from coming at it at a faith perspective, it's some people think, oh, you just care about these animals, but you don't care about humans. And it's like, no, I really care about humans, and this is coming back to bite us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Taking the easy way out with some of these chemicals. And sometimes these places didn't know. Like, they used something. They didn't realize it had harm, but we tend to... In back to the Europe aspect, we tend to use things until they cause a problem versus seeing if they cause a problem first and then use them. Just a very different attitude, and we're paying for that. And so are they. Well, thank you guys. This is good, and appreciate your time and sharing what you know and all the research you guys have done. And we'll put the books and some of these things, we'll make sure that they get in the show notes so people can just check them out and pick away at the information and figure out what they want to do for themselves. I hope you found some great takeaways that you can carry forward with you. A lot of information in there. Before we go, I just want to mention an event that is happening this week in Duluth, Minnesota. And it's about women and finances. And finances are one of those things that our financial health is one thing, and then our health in reflection of that financial health is another. So this event is happening here in Duluth on Thursday, June 14th, and it's happening from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at Blackwoods Bar and Grill. It's called Women and Money Taking Control of Your Financial Future. And I had a little chat with her about this, and a couple of the reasons it's focusing on women is there are particular issues that women deal with that are different. One of them being is that women make less money to begin with, typically. And women also tend to live longer than men. So there are some planning that's considered in that whole situation too, which she's going to touch on. Full disclosure, I have not actually worked with Della. Like I said, I see her and we chat through work days and other events. And she's not asking me to put this event out there. I'm doing it of my own free will. She's assured me, and I assume this to be true just because of the personality that she has, that this is not a high-powered sales type thing. So this might be a great way to get information and get to know her if that is something you are looking for. And if you know me well, you know that I appreciate that about people. So check it out if it's something that you are interested in learning more about. She would very much like you to let her know that she's coming, just so she knows how many people are showing up. And you can reach her at della.stegall@prudential.com. So that's della.stegall@prudential. And Prudential is spelled PRUDENTIAL. To make it super easy, you can find the event on Facebook under Women and Money Taking Control of Your Financial Future. And according to Facebook, it's supposed to be a lovely day that day, high of 72. So after you consider your financial health, you can head right out the door of Blackwoods and get down to the lake walk and take yourself a delightful walk by the lake and take care of your physical health too. Ta-da! Oh, and mental health. See, we're covering a lot of stuff in one day. Rock on. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Definitely check out wellnessrenpodcast.com so you can see all the other podcasts and topics available to you. While you are there, you can check out on the left, sign up for the email list. We just send you a quick email with a link right to the podcast when it comes out so you know what's going on. If you're an Amazon shopper and want to let us know you like what we're doing, go to wellnessrenpodcast.com and you're going to see support the podcast. Click on that. That's going to bring you to a bunch of links that'll get you to Amazon. You do not have to purchase anything on that list, but whatever you do purchase that day, a small portion, no cost to you, just a portion of your sale will go to us and support the podcast. So thank you so very much for those of you who have done that. We are extremely appreciative. You can also find us and listen on iTunes. Connect on Facebook as well at Wellness Renaissance. And you know, if you have a product that you love that doesn't have the chemicals and the toxins that we've been talking about today, put it on Facebook. Go to the Wellness Renaissance page and go ahead and put that link or information about that product in a comment below the show or even in the show notes. There's availability to list to comment there too. This is the way we find these products, and it's fun to hear what other people are using and what they're happy with. So please don't hesitate to share. The more of us that are aware and the more we can use, the more benefit it is, and the more people are calling for that product, so the more people and companies get the idea that, hey, people are looking for this stuff. So please do not hesitate to share. Thank you so much. And if maybe you're looking for a particular product or an opinion, post that on there too. Feel free. That'd be great. Thank you so very much for listening. I look forward to talking to you again next time, and may you find pieces to your health puzzle to help you attain your best health. Take care.